And now Brother Sam Christick of Los Angeles, California will speak to us. And his subject is The Mighty Word. Brother Sam.
Indeed, my family and I are so joyful to be with you, to share the sweet fellowship, and to be refreshed by that wonderful and precious word of the Lord. This morning, we sang Blessed Bible, the book that contains the mighty word from beginning to end. Blessed Bible, precious word, bone most sacred of the Lord, glory to His name be given for the choicest gift from heaven. So for a little while we are to unite our hearts and our minds in thinking upon this choicest gift from heaven, the Bible, and why it has been given to us. The Word of God contained the plan for all His people. And as we understand the outworking of that plan as expressed in His Word, we are then able to grasp something of the greatness of our Heavenly Father because of the revelation He has made of His purposes in the Bible. But should we leave the Word of God, the Bible, out of our lives, and in spite of the science of nature, all human wisdom and knowledge, God then remains largely unknown. But the reason that you and I so much enjoy reading the Bible is because it fills an important part in our lives. For we have come to know and to love its author. And because we do love the author, we also have learned to love the beautiful message He has conveyed in the writings of His Word. And how beautiful He has assured us through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Epistle, chapter 1, verse 21, writes, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But what a paradox it is that this mighty word that has gone out from the mouth of God through the prophets of old and continues to consistently with each passing year to be the bestseller, with millions of copies printed and distributed throughout the world in more than 1,000 languages. And yet, so very few really understand it. To many, the Bible has become but a dull history of ancient past, having nothing to do with this present modern space and computer age. But yet, no other book is as up to date as the precious Bible. And indeed, we can safely say that the Bible was written especially for our day, for this present generation. For it predicts not only the great increase of knowledge and of the travel to and fro with the speed of sound, with this great energy power, the nuclear energy, but oh, so much more. Yes, it also predicts, as we had heard from this platform, today's chaotic world conditions, in which the destructive forces threaten to annihilate the human race. It also reveals what will be and is being done to prevent these types of things to happen. In the Bible are revealed the causes of today's many ills, and the social problems, economic problems, environmental problems, and international problems of every kind. This wonderful Word of God shows where world events are leading to and the final outcome of them. In the prophetic books such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, David, Revelations, we are given a skeleton framework of the past and the future events. Indeed, the Bible is the wonderful written revelation of the Creator's grand design for mankind. It contains absolute vital knowledge that each one needs in order to understand. But that would be inaccessible by any natural means. For the Bible is peculiar because it is the only book in existence that is dependent upon the heart condition of the one whom desires to read it, and it's to the message that it contains. We ask the question, is our heart wrong? If so, then it has no message for us. It is that peculiar. Are we desirous of doing our own will? Then again, it has no message. But if our hearts are right, if our desires are sincere to know and to do God's will, then this precious Bible contains a message, and a wonderful message indeed. And part of that wonderful message is in the beautiful, precious promises of God. And what would you and I do without these precious promises? The Apostle Peter acknowledges them as the great, exceeding, and precious promises. In the lives of each one of us, there have been times that have been already expressed when there has been a need for us to lean upon, yes, to be dependent upon the promises of God. And how beautiful they are indeed. And we would like to mention but a few of them because of time. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In quietness and confidence shall be thy strength. My grace is sufficient for thee. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And if God be for us, who then can be against us? How precious are these promises not by might nor by strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That you and I, by these, might be made partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 2 chapter verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things that be of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Indeed, without this mighty, precious word, the Bible, we could never understand lessons and the history of the past, nor the meaning of the present situation, the purpose of life and the future. Much of the Word of God is a record of what has happened as a result of God's great law of love and obedience that has been violated both individually and nationally. God had intended that we should learn from the records contained in His Word. Yes, indeed, if mankind would have learned from the Bible history, they would not have continued to make the same grave mistakes and often suffered the same results. And as we think upon the historical events of past, we think of the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 10 chapter verse 11. How that it all happened to them by way of warnings for others. And it was written for the sole purpose of instructing us whose lot has been cast in the closing hours of this present age. The Apostle Paul in Romans 15 verse 4 writes also for us, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Indeed, our God has laid bare in the lives of those with whom He has worked over the centuries past, so that those who would read and study His Word might learn and avoid mistakes similar to that made in the past, as with the fleshly house of Israel. The Word of God contains the most meaningful case histories of human behavior ever recorded. Indeed, the Bible is not an ordinary book. It is unique in that it contains the revealment of the knowledge that we possess from the great Creator of the universe. Yes, the Bible is the written Word of God in print. We might say it is the Maker's instruction manual for us, for it explains how human creation was to operate. It also explains why the Creator had put mankind here upon the earth and instructed how they are to live. Human behavior, we might say, cannot be correctly interpreted apart from the understanding of the Word of God. The question, why does evil exist? What is sin? What is good or what is bad? What is normal? What is not? Only the Word of God can supply the true answers to these questions and other crucial questions which man has faced with and has to cope with in this life. God, through His Word, has been telling us what we are and how we are to live and how and when we can achieve our ultimate potentials. This wonderful book spells out the way to peace, joy, and happiness to them that seek it. For only in the Bible can we find the necessary basic knowledge. For God has indeed inspired the Bible to be the very basis of true understanding and the very foundation upon which knowledge is gained, as the wise man Solomon has brought to our attention in Proverbs. The question then again, why then is the Word of God so little understood? Simply because when some try to read it, they try to understand it through the beliefs of their own religious views as they were brought up by their parents. Likewise, this has been the problem with some of the great translators of the Scriptures, because they have been blinded by the prince of the world, known also as the prince of darkness, as the prophet declares, "Darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people." Or indeed, one must have a desire to know and understand that he might be enlightened concerning this mighty word. And James tells us that if any man will desire to draw nigh to God, then God will draw nigh unto him. But the sincerity of heart must be there. Jesus himself said to the seekers, "Seek, ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." It has been through that wonderful Holy Spirit that has enabled you and I to know and understand this mighty Word of God. And in rightly dividing the Word of Truth, making it the most simple and also beautiful, as the theme of every discourse at this convention has brought to our attention and has enlightened us and cheered us in this most holy faith. And how beautiful were the Master's words to you and I. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And so how blessed we are indeed. For the Word is not only simple and beautiful, but it has been the light or the lamp unto our feet, unto our path, and the light unto our feet. Not only is it simple, beautiful, mighty, but it is the most powerful, as the Apostle Paul brings it to our attention in Hebrews 4:12, where he writes, "The Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts deep both ways and is a discerner of thought and the intent of the heart. It opens and lays bare the inner man." That how powerful and mighty is the Word of God. This wonderful book declares for us the beginning and the end. And it is the record of the great plan of God and His purpose concerning the world of mankind, whom He had created for His joy and His pleasures, and also the new creation, which is His glorious work at the present time, beginning with His dear Son. All this has been thought of before the foundations of the earth were ever laid. If anyone would but read the first few pages of this book and the last few pages of the book, one would be struck with the awe and the correspondence and the harmony and the beauty which exist there. For in the beginning of the Word we read how that God created the heaven and the earth. And at the end, we find a new order. This old order must be put away, destroyed. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. Again, at the beginning of the Word, Satan enters into the picture to deceive and to destroy. At the close of this wonderful book, we find Satan is cast out, and he shall deceive the nations no more. And as we open the first few pages again, we find therein how sin, pain, sorrow, and death finds its entrance. But we are restored with gladness that at the end there shall be no more pain, nor sorrow, nor sighing. No more death. At the beginning of its pages, we find the earth for man's transgression is cursed. It brings forth thorns and thistles. And at the close of its pages, we read that there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb with his bride shall be therein. Once again, as we turn to the beginning of the Word, we find in the midst of paradise from which the sinner was shut away by the flaming sword, lest they eat of the tree of life or good of knowledge of good and evil and live forever. And at the end of this wonderful book, once again we read of the tree of life in the midst of paradise, where the blessed and the washed ones have a right to the tree of life. In the beginning, man is brought beneath the dominion of death and sin and the grave. At the close, it is revealed to us that the dead, small and great, shall stand before God, and the sea shall give up the dead. That death and hell are cast into the lake of fire to be no more. Once again, as we look into the beginning of the book, first Adam lost his dominion over the earth, driven out of the garden to shame and sorrow. And at the close of the book, we find second Adam, now victorious over sin and death, enthroned as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in triumph and glory, and as the arm of Jehovah with his bride, restores once again to man the dominion lost through the outworking of the glorious kingdom. Wonderful indeed are the words of the Lord. Wisdom, its pages unfold. We may read them over and over and over again, yet they never grow old. Each line to us is such a glorious pleasure, each promise a wonderful pearl. Yes, all may secure them. And when time and the world pass away, this mighty word shall forever endure. May the Lord add its blessing.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Now let's close by singing hymn number 100. Hymn number 100, I Am So Glad. And we'll stand on the last verse and be led in prayer by Brother Sam. After this service, we'll have an intermission until 3:45.
Divine and gracious Heavenly Father, Thou who art the giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. May it ever continue to inspire our hearts and our minds to draw nigh unto Thee continuously, to walk faithfully and humbly before Thee in the footsteps of our dear Master, ever beholding this wonderful banner of truth before us, rejoicing in the precious promises. And for the glorious kingdom we pray that Thy will may be done. To Thy glory and honor and praise we pray. Amen.